welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, August 5, 2021. Power struggle threatens to weaken South Sudan's former rebels loyal to Riek Machar.
We believe that the military command did not make any political decision of the movement, but the political bureau or the National Liberation Council in the absence of.
And activists are calling on President Salva Kiir to fire the Minister for Humanitarian Affairs.
We are asking the presidency to immediately relieve Honorable Peter Mayenne. It should be investigated, because if we allow a whole corner of cabinet minister to walk away with such kind of crime, what are we sending to the rest of the population?
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The former rebels of the Sudan People's Liberation Movement in opposition says it has fired three of its senior military officers in Upper Nile State. The decision follows a declaration by some generals who disowned Riek Machar as the head of the SPLM-IO and commander-in-chief of the SPLA-IO earlier this week. Machar's spokesperson says the decision to fire the three generals was made during the SPLM-IO's leadership meeting in Juba. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
The three fired generals are SPLA-IO former chief of staff, General Simon Gadwich, renowned fighter General Johnson Olong of the SPLA-IO's Sector 1 Command, and General Thomas Mabordoal of Sector 3 Command. Pork Both Baluang, spokesperson for First Vice President Riek Machar, says the decision to sack the generals was taken after a meeting of the SPLA-IO leadership, attended by members of the party's political bureau and a military command council, which was chaired by Machar. Baluang says the meeting was called after an August 3rd declaration made by the SPLA-IO chief of staff and some party commanders in Upper Nile State. Baluang says the meeting resolved that the declaration made by the party's former chief of general staff, Gadwich, was illegal.
We believe that the military command did not make any political decision of the movement, but the political bureau or the National Liberation Council in the absence of the National Convention. This is part of the resolutions of the points that was made by the meeting of the three bureau plus the SPLA-IO Military Command Council yesterday in Juba.
Baluang says the declaration was intended to obstruct activities leading to the formation of unified forces, including the graduation and deployment of unified forces.
We'll be monitoring the moves of these three generals. Therefore, that I would like to assure that the situation is in control. The other two generals, Thomas Mabor and Johnson Holland, were relieved from their positions and replaced by another commander to lead our forces in the two sectors, which is Sector 1 and Sector 3.
Baluang says Machar is still in control of SPLA-IO forces in Upper Nile that we are being led by the three generals. A letter seen by South Sudan in Focus, dated August 3rd, indicates former SPLA-IO Chief of Staff, General Simon Gadwich, held a meeting in Manganese, Upper Nile State, with some party commanders and declared Machar's ouster, after which he declared himself the party's new leader and commander-in-chief of the SPLA-IO. Unconfirmed videos and photos circulating on social media show Gadwich being cheered by senior military officers of the SPLA-IO during the declaration. Hundreds of officers and some top military officers can be seen in the photos and videos attending the meeting. Policy analyst James Okuk says he is not surprised to hear about the split within the SPLA-IO, calling it confirmation of a long overdue move and a defiance by the Gadwich group. Okuk also says the split highlights the growing frustration over the slow implementation of the peace agreement among the signatories to the peace deal.
The generals who are claiming to have replaced the chairman of IOD, Riek Machar, have not been in good terms with him almost for 2 years now. And they have not even reported to Juba since the signing of the implementation of the revitalized peace agreement. And they have been appointed to the government and they declined the appointment. For example, Gerwig Dol was recently appointed as advisor for the security, but then he declined that position. Before General Johnson Oloyi was the nominee of the SPLM-IO for the governor of Upper Nile, but he also declined to come to Juba.
Okuk says the split within SPLM-IO would only weaken further implementation of the peace deal.
The SPLM-IO is a strong partner in the implementation of the revitalized peace agreement. So if it become weak by a split within itself, it means they become a weak partner. And weak partner is not a good news to the implementation of the revitalized peace agreement. So already, both the general are weakening themselves and then they are weakening the political wing. So they will become a weakling in the implementation of the revitalized peace agreement. And this will give the IT Gono, which is led by the SPLM, an upper hand now.
This marks the second time SPLM-IO members have attempted to oust Machar as leader of the party. In 2016, and then Vice President Taban Dengai failed to oust Machar as party leader following renewed conflict in Juba. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wodo in Juba.
The SPLM-IO military spokesperson, Brigadier General William Gatjiat Deng, who has joined the splinter group within the former rebel group, says South Sudan's first vice president, Riek Machar, abandoned his fighters while implementing the 2018 peace agreement. Deng says some SPLM-IO senior officers requested Machar to turn up for meetings several times without success. He says Machar's decision to fire 3 senior officers of the SPLM-IO will not be effective because Machar is not in control of his army.
Our reaction to this is that the military command leadership of the movement denounced Dr. Riek Machar. He has been removed from the leadership. Now General Garwich has become an interim chairperson of SPLM-IO commander-in-chief because Dr. Machar has left the army 2 years ago. He went and joined the government in Juba.
You sound like you are trying to spin information for your own advantage, but it's a known fact that Dr. Riek Machar went to Juba as part of the peace agreement the SPLM-IO signed. Why would you say he left the army and went to Juba?
He claims to be in Juba implementing the peace agreement, but so we don't even see even a single point of implementing these things. We don't even see them. He went to Juba with a huge number of politicians, those who are seeking for positions, but our position is not looking for positions. We have the real cause.
What is the name of this new group that is claiming to have removed Machar from the SPLM-IO?
We are still the SPLM-IO movement. So administratively, we denounce and we remove Dr. Riek Machar as he has failed the movement. He has failed his duties. Then so administratively, we remove him and he becomes the ordinary member of the SPLM-IO.
The SPLM-IO signed an agreement with President Salva Kiir's government, and the terms of the agreement stipulates that Dr. Riek Machar has to be in Juba, or the head of the SPLM-IO has to be in Juba. If Simon Gatwich is your new interim chairman, when is he going to Juba?
Our forces should have gone to Juba with a huge number and should go taking their army with them. Then so we go with our huge machines with us. But the peace agreement that the Riek Machar is doing in Juba, that needs only politicians and all the army should go to Juba without them carrying their guns, then this is a different agreement. This was not the peace we had signed.
I read the revitalized peace agreement twice or 3 times, and the agreement states that all the warring parties that signed the 2018 peace agreement will assemble their forces at various cantonment sites for training so that they are deployed as part of the unified forces. Why would you say it's a different agreement?
We had sent our forces 2 years ago, in 2018, early 2018 and 2019. So we sent them to different training centers in all greater regions. So up to now, our forces have not been graduated. And also even Dr. Machar is not talking about this, but he's talking about the formation of the national unity in Juba. Basically, he's really busy to give position to Mr. X and Y, but he doesn't even take care of the army. Addition to this, also the 3 years of disagreements have almost finished, because even up to 15th of September 2021, this is the end of transitional period, which means 3 years have gone without even a solution.
Brigadier General William, you have been on record since 2018 when this agreement was signed in Khartoum, saying that the agreement is working and the SPLA-IO, at cantonment sites, and you, Chairman Dr. Riek Machar, is implementing the agreement. Why are you changing your language now?
You know, so we don't even change our language. But we have seen them, so they are calling us busy spoilers.
You and few other officers have declared that Machar is no longer in charge of the SPLMIO, and Gutrich is the new man making decisions on behalf of the SPLMIO. What are some of your plans?
The new chairman and commander-in-chief, General Simon Gutrich, will not go to Juba unless... So we come back and sit down with the peace partners, and it started with the secured arrangement. We see first, where are our forces? Those who are being sent to the training centers are already graduated and deployed. This is what we'll talk about is going to Juba. If these things are not done, then nobody is going to Juba.
What will you be doing if you are not going to Juba? Because the SPLM-IO signed an agreement that it has to implement. You cannot throw your hands in the air and leave the agreement like that.
I think the peace partners themselves, so they would answer this question. Because if they are there for peace, they would agree to implement the peace agreement. Because if they don't follow the box as it is being stipulated, this would not be up to us, even themselves. So they would answer this question.
The revitalized peace agreement, it states that in the event the leader of the SPLA-IO is unfit and cannot take part in the transitional government of national unity, the SPLM-IO Liberation Council will sit down and agree on one candidate that will be presented to the transitional government as a replacement. You, the military, took a shortcut and declared Gutrich as the leader of the SPLM.
So our leadership, our military command leadership, so had called the chairman, the former chairman, to come for a meeting to convene with us. Then three letters. He had been given 3 letters at a go, but he put his death years. It means that so he doesn't even want this. So now Juba become the safe haven for him. He become a paradise. The Kitgwang Declaration says General Simon Gutrich is interim chairperson and the CNC of the SPLA-IO until the grassroots levels met their conventions, where so a chairperson will be nominated. It's because we know this properly.
That's Brigadier General William Gatjet Deng, the military spokesperson of the Sudan People's Liberation Movement in opposition. He spoke with me from Kitgwang in Upper Nile State earlier today. Some activists in South Sudan's capital Juba are calling on President Salva Kiir to relieve the Minister for Humanitarian Affairs, Peter Mayen, for allegedly assaulting his wife. One activist says if the presidency does not act on the matter, it implies the government condones gender-based violence. For VOA News, Winnie Chirino reports from Juba.
Wani Maiko, an activist and executive director of the local NGO OK Foundation, says it's unfortunate Peter Mayen is still Minister for Humanitarian Affairs after stabbing and beating his wife Aluel Garang. Maiko says Mayen's actions are a disgrace to the entire cabinet, and he broke the law by beating his wife.
We are asking the presidency to immediately relieve Honorable Peter Mayen. He should be investigated. Because if we allow a whole corner of cabinet minister to walk away with such kind of crime, what are we sending to the rest of the population? That every man is licensed to beat his woman to that extent? We also have a GBV court in Juba here. So Honorable Peter Mayen deserved to stand before trial in the GBV court, because that was a very, very serious crime. It's more of even an attempted murder, because you cannot starve and beat a woman to that extent. Otherwise, if the presence is and the cabinet does not act, we will conclude that the cabinet and the government entertain such kind of behaviors, that people can be able to do such kind of things with impunity.
Michael is also calling on other political parties to demand that Mayen be fired, as his behavior is unacceptable. Michael says, like torture, assault is a criminal act according to South Sudan law. Zabib Musa, a human rights activist with the Islamic Development and Relief Agency, says the fact that the government has not condemned Mayen's behavior indicates that gender-based violence is still a huge problem in South Sudan, and that perpetrators of such crimes continue to go unpunished.
The minister in question has to resign from his position and go to jail so that he can be an example to the rest, you know? GBV, whether perpetrated by a public figure or any kind of person, remains unacceptable in our communities. And the women of South Sudan do not want to be led by people who abuse them. This should be a message that goes even to the president, that these kind of people should be removed from their position.
Rhea Williams-Luyuda is executive director for Crown the Woman, a feminist organization working to end violence against girls and women in South Sudan. She too says the minister should be fired.
Peter Mayen must be fired. He's not suitable for leadership. If he cannot handle his home peacefully, but rather choose to use his power as a man to attempt murder, stab his wife, he even refused her to play football. He can't be our leader. A leader is a person who is supposed to support everyone, including women. We shouldn't be stopped to do what we want. Women can't be stopped to play football. We don't deserve violence in the name of what we choose to do with our bodies. He should be arrested immediately. He deserves to rot in jail.
Deng Garang, an uncle to Aluel Garang, says his niece is locked up in Mayen's house in Kwajok without any medical support. He says the family sent a relative to Mayen's house to check on Garang's condition.
The health of Aluel is deteriorating. She has a wound over her body. Her body is completely injured. So, and she is not been allowed to go to hospital. And Mayen is not informing us what is the problem. The parents of the Mayen are not telling us what is the problem. As a parent, we are very concerned, because the health of our daughter is completely deteriorating.
Garang says his niece's family tried to reach Mayen's family and the Kwach community where Mayen hails from, who promised to resolve the issue and return Aluel Garang, but nothing has happened.
As per now, we need our daughter to be sent back to us so that we can take her to the hospital. He can be treated first, and then as a parent, we will talk. We will sit down and talk with them. But if Mayen is not sending out our daughter and he's still torturing her, this is completely out of the law. This is out of the law, and he will take us in different levels. Otherwise, we shall be forced to reverse any decision we have made during the marriage arrangement.
Earlier this year, Mayen was accused of dragging his wife Aluel Garang out of a football match in Awil town, which she was participating in. South Sudan in Focus tried to reach Peter Mayen by phone for comment, but his phone was switched off. For VOA News, I am Winnie Serino in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Coming up, a young South Sudanese convict on a death row is set free. Find out how.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
do you know any first aid techniques?
Come to think of this question, I thought I do, but seriously, I think I may not be able to do too well if there is any situation present. Maybe it's something I need to go in and learn how to do. It could help somebody tomorrow.
During our school days, the Red Cross Society, the clubs that we joined, they taught us a lot. When a child runs high temperature, you sponge the child with water from the leg to the head, then you just rush the person to the hospital for best treatment.
In case if you have drowned maybe from water, the first aid technique that is available to be given is a kiss of life to a person that has drowned into water.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. A group of South Sudanese lawyers who are members of an organization calling itself Justice for Human Rights Observatory are requesting for an end to death penalty for juvenile offenders in South Sudan. This comes after the Supreme Court in Juba reversed a death sentence against a young man. For VOA News, Sheila Pony reports from Juba.
Magai Matiopngok was 15 when he got into a violent altercation with a neighbor in November 2017. Ngok testified he stole his father's gun and fired warning rounds toward the ground when his cousin tried to stop the brawl. One of the bullets ricocheted off the ground and struck his cousin, who later died in the hospital. Ngok was arrested and appeared before the High Court in Nimule without a lawyer, as required by law. He was convicted of murder, sentenced to death, and sent to Juba Central Prison. Earlier this year, lawyers from the group Justice for Human Rights Observatory intervened after it became apparent no proper assessment was carried out to establish Ngok's age at the time of his conviction. Defense lawyer Godfrey Victor Bula is executive director of Justice for Human Rights Observatory.
Magai, at the time of commission of the offense, he was sitting in his PLA, was a juvenile. Primary living certificate was a juvenile. And at the time of commission of the offense, he was 15 years. Perhaps one of the reasons could be was that the provision of the facilities of age assessment at that time may have not been placed. And that's why the courts, our courts and the judiciary are struggling in terms of determining the age of a juvenile. That's why those who are not likely like Magai are even executed.
The group appealed on behalf of Ngok, and the South Sudan Court of Appeals annulled his death sentence on July 14th on grounds Ngok was a minor at the time he committed the crime. The court sent case file to the High Court in Nimule to determine an appropriate penalty. Ngok was released from the death row on July 29th, but the complainant appealed to the Supreme Court, urging that Ngok should be executed because he is now an adult. Standing in the dock yesterday, Ngok told the court that his cousin's death was an accident.
Without any lawyer to defend me by then, I was taken to court for the first time, you know, and I didn't have any experience of how the court's procedures work. So I was only taken to court without any lawyer to defend me, without any of my family member, and without someone that I know. So I was taken to court for the first time, and it was also a big challenge to me.
The Supreme Court affirmed the appeals court decision and struck down Ngok's death sentence yesterday. Speaking on behalf of the Human Rights Observatory, Bula applauded the Supreme Court's decision, calling it a milestone on how juvenile cases should be handled that involve the death penalty.
Despite the fact that South Sudan as a country is a signatory to most of the international conventions that protect the rights of a child from being executed to death or convicted to death. So we are very grateful to the Supreme Court, to our Supreme Court of South Sudan, for this wonderful decision that indeed the proper application of the law and the constitution has been put in place.
Bula says he is especially concerned for juvenile offenders in rural areas.
Many juveniles still stand a risk of being convicted or executed to death because in the countryside there is no proper facility of assessment of age in place. Not having those facilities in place puts the juveniles at a risk of even being convicted to death or even executed, because our court will be struggling in determining the age of a juvenile because most of the parents don't take it serious, process the age assessment, or even in other places those facilities are not there.
Earlier this year, Amnesty International called on the South Sudan government to fully comply with national and international laws which prohibit the use of the death penalty against one below the age of 18 at the time a crime was committed. Amnesty says authorities must abolish what they call this crucial, inhuman, and degrading punishment. Section 21, subsection 2 of the 2011 Transitional Constitution of South Sudan and International Human Rights Laws, of which South Sudan is a party, to prohibit the application of the death sentence against children. South Sudan is a signatory to the Convention on the Rights of Child, which prohibit capital punishment against anyone under the age of 18 at the time of the offense. For VOA News, I am Sheila Pony in Juba.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's all we prepared for you this Thursday. Let us know what you think about this show. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. We now leave you with D. Kut with his song Pir Aher.
Jeffu jamme jamma ngui lergo woda baba ben be yekeda pirager akornum pirager akorman fany ku pirchu ko mit ke bay sudan mel ku ne biro kanenga korke biro kaneng mike ne pirager ukai ko tiluñ wey banu dengre wotu wey ndugo kay bako ke dole ben dengru dengru akola panda berawi dengru dengru ben jambo mit ke sausu dengru dengru woluñ way ñindugo dengru dengru wakay kot ke bay ci dong pangru dengru ku yak pingu yak jam nga jam yak jam we dorur yone pantuk a ci ndor ku ne ray mi ke dingduk mat ke jeng ben ben bi ya ban moy ak wa dak ci nduru war wo ni yebñu no ma ci nduru war wo yalla ke woto panda ye ki ni wo atana ka nga dobay ci nga gam wo
We've been listening to D. Kut with the song Pir Aher. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for allowing us into your homes, phones, and vehicles. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Dengeru dengeru, what the way in the go? Dengeru dengeru, kai bako kedua leben. Dengeru dengeru, aku lepanda.